Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Ayin Hey, the second to last daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah. And we mentioned yesterday, right before we finished, the Rav's drasha of Nava Artichu. Nava Artichu and Davayin Dalam Abez, which meant that Rava kashered the wine press by boiling water in it. Seems to be, he had to kasher the wine press using boiling water. The question is, how did he do that? So, there is a sheet of the Yar Zarua who says maybe there was a fire somehow that he got underneath the wine press, and therefore this wouldn't be anything teaching me anything new. It would just be teaching me the regular din of Hagala, which we will learn about Bezeshem on tomorrow's daf, the last daf. But Pashtus is, and this is the way Bali Yatosfus understand it, is that you can't put a fire under the wine press, so the only way to do it is to pour boiling water into the wine press. But then that gets us into the sugya of Irui Kli Rishon. I take a pot of boiling water off the fire and I pour it. So what status does that have? So we saw there are three shittas in the Rishonim. What is the status of Irui Kli Rishon? Rabbi Tam holds that Irui Kli Rishon is Kikli Rishon, and therefore their kulas and chumras. It's good enough for Agala, but it's chumrah for Hilcha Shabbos. It could be chayiv and isa daraisa if somebody does Irui Kli Rishon onto something that is not cooked. Rashbam holds the other shita, the opposite, and that is Iri Kikli Sheni. And here is different because it's Yayin Nesech, which was only used cold, not hot, Tashbisha Betzonein. While we pask in the middle shita of Rabbeinu, it's quoted here, maybe it's Rabbeinu Baruch, maybe it's Stama, the other Tosasin, the one in Shabbos has it as a Stama, without a name, and that is Iri is Mavashal Kadei Klipa. Iri cooks the outer layer, and therefore for Hilcha Shabbos, most of the time it's still going to be a problem. If I do Irui onto anything that is not cooked, so the outer layer is being cooked. So what? Then I'm not cooking the whole thing, but it's still the outer layer is being cooked, and therefore it would still be a problem. But there are some coolest, like the post can talk about in Hilcha Shabbos. Let's say I want to warm up a baby bottle. Baby bottle of milk, I warm up a baby bottle on Shabbos. How do I do that? So either I could put it into a cup of boiling hot water, that is cooking into a klisheni. Klisheni is amavashel. We assume certain liquids, assuming they're not kali bishel, they're not items that cook even in a klisheni, that you could do that. But the poskim say, in the Rav Simcha Bunim Kolm quotes this nafkamina, that if I put the baby bottle right under the urn, and it opened the urn. Why? That's Iri Kli Rishon. It's Mavashel Kadei Klipa. Well, you're not cooking the plastic on the outside. That's the Klipa. And therefore, what's inside is okay. And that would be a case of Lakula. Or the other Kula that comes out of this is that, let's say I want to add, I see my Chalant is drying out Friday night, so what do I do? So assuming that I'm able, and I follow all the laws of Hachazara, which is how to return items, midrabanan, to a covered fire on Shabbos, I align the inside of my crockpot with tinfoil, and I have daft to put it back, and I don't put it down, all of the rules, without paskening now exactly how to do it, all the ways that I do it in the mutter way to return it to a fire, but what I'm allowed to do is, I could take that chalant insert, put it under the urn, put the hot water that's boiled already directly into the shalom pot as long as it's already fully cooked. Wonderful. Why? Because I'm doing Iri there. It's Mavashel. So it's going from a state of Bishul to a state of Bishul. No problem. And therefore, in that respect, it would be a Kula as well. Right? Iri Kli Rishon. There is a discussion in the Rishonim there in Masechta Shabbos. What happens if in the Irui Kli Rishon, we paskin mevashel kadei klipa, what happens if the entire mixture is going to end up yatzol adesbo? Do we still say there that it's only mevashel kadei klipa? Or do we say there that it's mevashel totally? For example, what happens if I want to have a second cup of tea? The second cup of tea, Shaila. What is it? So let's say I have some drops left in my first cup. So do I have to make sure that those drops are dried out or not? Because I'm going to cook those. Let's say they're cooled off. That's all I have a second cup of tea. So it's Iri Kli Rishon. So you might say Mevashel Kadei Klipa. But here the whole mixture is going to end up Yatzol Adesbo. But is there any different there? So that's what the Mefarshim say. There you might say it is going to cook. Even if by... I skipped a step. Usually, this whole discussion of Irui... I'm going to go back a step. But Irui, this whole three of Machlokas is only doing Irui onto solids. The Ran in Shabbos says, onto liquids, you don't say it's Mevashel at all, because liquids takes it and it doesn't hit a specific surface. There is no Klifa. And therefore, it's totally mixes in and dissipates, the heat dissipates into the liquid, and therefore it's not mevashel at all. Iri kli rishon is only mevashel. These three shitas on sal, it's not onto liquids. The question is, do you say that even if the entire liquid mixture at the end of the day is going to end up yatzol adespel? So that's where the discussion of the tea comes in, and there are different shitas in the poskim. Many say that if it's a second cup of tea, one does not have to be worried, because that's putting together two chumras. That's what Rav Moshe says. The fact that it was cooked already once, the liquid, so ein mevashel, ein bishel achar bishel when it comes to liquids, that is a chumra that we're machmer lechatchila for bishel achar bishel when it comes to liquids. So that's one chumra, putting together with that it's going to end up yatzol adespo. So Rav Moshe says, once it's, if it was cooked already, a second cup of tea, you don't have to make yourself crazy. You got to get very dry. If it was never cooked, if you just washed out the cup in the sink, and you have a couple of cold drops of water in there from the sink, so then one might be more mistaver to be machmer in that case to make sure it's dried out. Okay, these are all some issues that come up with Irui Kli Rishon, which Tosfos here discusses. Okay, we continue now with Rava. Six lines up from the bottom. Rava, Kavi Mishadar Gulfi, Laharfanya. Rava, when he used to send empty bottles, jars, jugs to Harpanya, so these empty jugs, he used to send them with the guy, so he wanted to make sure that he knew that the guy did not use these empty bottles on the way. So what did he do? So we'll go with Rashi's Pshat. Sachif Lahu Apumayhu. He used to turn them over on their... Yes. He used to turn them over on their mouths. V'chasim luha birtzayhu. So imagine, he used to put these little jars into a sack in order for the guy to take them. He turned the jars over, the jars were upside down, and he tied the top of the sack, knotted. So Rashi says, doing that functions as a double chosem. That's Rashi Pshat. One is the knot, two is that it's upside down. So it's a chosem, but the chosem, says Rashi, and that is what is needed here. Kasavar, because why? What did you need this to do this for? Kasavar, kol davar shemachnisu l'kiyam, anything that is usually used to keep something in for an extended period of time, machnisu l'kiyam, afil l'fisha goes to Rabbanan. So Rabbanan goes there on those types of kalim, even l'fisha. So these jugs that Rava was transporting through a guy, so usually he kept wine in there for a long time. So because of that, Chazal said that one should make sure that a guy doesn't use it even for a short period of time. What happens if he did? What happens if Rava forgot to do this? What happens if a guy was alone with empty barrels? And we don't know if what he did or not. So the Ritva quotes from the Ra'ah, one of his Rebbeim. Das Bori HaRa'ah, Dekiva Denach Alishna De Gazru. It says Gazru. B'di'evan Minicham Lo Chosam Yanachri L'fisha B'shich Shach Sagi Lahu. Says the Ra'ah that because the whole thing is a gzeira, so therefore, b'di eved, it will be okay, it's only also l'chadchila, shelo gazra l'chadchila, and then the Ritva quotes, v'lo nira kein das shara poskim. Shara poskim seem to say that if you leave an empty jug with a guy, and you don't know what happened, it was just empty, so then one would need to kasher it. That's what the Ritva says, and that is what we see the pasuk. The Ramah quotes this in Kuf Lamed Vav, Sif Aleph. The Ramah says that if the imavar v'shilchem below chosam yesh lahachshiro kifi inyan hahechsher. That's imhaya shalov v'kochavim. So that is the that's the next line. That's the Rama says paskin lechumer like our ritva here. If I left an empty, I left kelim yuchadim liyayin with a guy, alone with a guy, and it only had chosam echad. Right, chosam b'tel chosam is what Rashi says. Only is one chosam, felachan chila, that's aser. But the Eved, the Ramah says, it even requires kashrim. Good. So now the Gemara says, b'mem and agvan, as we alluded to yesterday. What is the process of niguv, as the Mishnah yesterday described that in certain types of kashering wine vats, stone, wood, cheres, however you did it, you have to do the process of niguv. So niguv literally means drawing. That's not what it means in the Mishnah. So what does it mean? So, Rav Amar B'mayim, Rav says using water, Rav Barachana Amar B'Efer. Rav Barachana says using ashes. Rav Amar B'mayim V'lo B'Efer. Rav Barachana Amar B'Efer V'lo B'mayim. Are they mutually exclusive shitos? One says water, you just use cold water. Cold water would be enough. And one says ash, you rub it with ashes, a hard type of surface in order to get out what's inside. So the Gemara says, no, Ela Amar Ra Ella Ama Ella Rav Amar B'Mayim V'Hu Adin La'Efer Rav Rachana Amar La'Efer V'Hu Adin La'Mayim V'Lo Pligi. Really, they say you really need both. Rav says water first and also Efer afterwards. Rav Rachana says Efer first and you have to use water afterwards. The difference is on the order. And the Gemara says there's no real argument here. Ha beritivta, ha biabeshta. It depends. If there is some moisture of wine, then you have to put the ashes on first to scrub it with the ashes in order to get out that wine and then put the water down. But if it's dry, then you can put the water first and then you use the ashes afterwards to scrub out the outer layer. Good. Itmar Bei Rav. Some more details about kashering these wine presses. Itmar Bei Rav, Mishmei de Rav. Amri and the Yeshiva of Rav, the quote of Rav is saying, Tarti Tlus. Two and three times. What does that mean? We'll have to see. Ushmol Amar Tlas Dalet. Shmuel says 3 and 4. What do these mean? So look at Rashi. Tarti Tlus, that means when it's wet, you have to do Afer and Maim, ashes and water. When it's dry, you need 3. Water, ashes, water. And Rava, and Shmuel adds on, he says 3, 4, not 2, 3. He just adds on another one. Tlas by the wet is ashes, water, ashes, and there's an extra one by the dry. Basura, back to the Gemara, Masuhachi, in Surah they had this version of Achlokas Rav and Shmuel. 2 and 3 and 3 and 4. But Masu, they added the following. They added on one. Be Rav, Amri, Mishrei, the Rav, Tlas, Dalin, Ushwal, Amr, Dalin, hey! They had 3, 4, 4, and 5 steps in the process. V'lo pligi, the menzo machlokas between Surah and Pupadisa, Maka chasha maya basroi, maloka chasha maya basroi. After you finish the whole process, you do one last rinsing with water. So do you count that as part of the process or not? So that's the machlokas between Pupadisa, that's the different versions of Pupadisa and Surah. The question is, do you count that last stage? Rashi here quotes another version of what 3-4, 2-3 here means. We're not going to go into the details, but there's just one important point in the Rashi. And that is, look at the second to last skinny line in Rashi. Look who Rashi quotes. Lashon Abba Mori, Menuchaso Kavod, quotes his father. I think that's pretty unusual in Shas, Rashi quoting his father. We're only used to that with possibly the first Rashi in Chumash. Amar Rav Yitzchak B'Taz, in his commentary on Rashi, the Divrei David says, maybe this is really his father. He wanted to give his father kavod as he started his commentary on Chumash. Amar Rav Yitzchak, we don't know for sure, but here he quotes his father. Lashon Abba Mori Menuchaso Kavod V'Hu Nira Be'enai V'Harishon Lashon Mori. So it goes two pshatim, how to understand these 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5s, one from his Rebbeim, one from his father. But that's a collector's item Rashi. Somebody pointed out in Yeshiva yesterday, how do you remember where this is? Avodah Zarah Ayin Hey, Olav Hashalom. Olav Hashalom, you remember Rashi quotes his father at the end of Avodah Zarah. You got to remember the Masechta Avodah Zarah. But Ayin Hey, Olav Hashalom, he quotes his father. Okay. Bo Mine Me Rebbe Avohu. He quotes from, the question is asked of Rebbe Avohu. Hani Gurni Da'armoi. These gurneys, what are these gurneys? Rashi quotes as a type of netting that they used to carry the grapes from one place to the other. They used to put it around these so the grapes wouldn't scatter. They used to carry the grapes in this type of netting. So the question is, Arimian netting. So mice, so what's the halacha? How do you kasher them? Right? All of these, if you're, just think about, there's no heat here. There's no heat. It's just a question of the grapes having sat in here. How long were they sitting? And this was very important to know at that time, because a lot of people were in the grape business, the wine business. So, my, how do you kasher them? So, I'm Amalei Rabbi Avo, Tani Tua. What do you mean? We learned it in a brisa. Haresha Hayugitav Ubeis, and the whole brisa goes to the bottom. Haresha Hayugitav Ubeis Badav Temeyin. If somebody has a wine press or a base badav, an olive press, Temeyin that were Tameu, because Lasasa Matara, he wants to make it Tahor. So, here we're not talking about kashrus anymore. Talk about Tum and Tara. And I want to all of a sudden decide I want to keep everything al Tara Zakodesh. I want to make everything Tar. So how am I Matahar things? So says the Brisa, Hadafin Vaha Adoshin Vahalulavin, Madichan, all these different types of the press, the boards used, and the on the Lulavin, that's a type of like a broom that's used to be Mechabe the grapes to scatter them. There are all those medichan. You just sprinkle water on them. V'ha'akalin is exactly what we're looking for. That's the gurgi. That's the nettings. Shel natsarin v'shel bitzputz. If they're made of netzer is like a basket material or bitzputz. Rashi quotes on the Gilyon quotes on the side is pishtan, some type of linen. Menagvan dunigov. which is our process that we've been talking about with the ashes and the water. Vishal shifa, vishal gemi, but these other types of materials, they absorb very much, and therefore, miyashnon yud beis chodesh. Those you gotta leave 12 months. A year, you gotta leave those a year, and then that will get out the absorption. Reb Shiv will get back to that. Reb Shiv Gamliel Omer, Manicha Migat Lagat Mibad Labad. Reb Shiv Gamliel says, no, you don't need a year. You go from Gat to Gat and Bad to Bad. From each season of wine pressing or olive pressing. So the says, Hadatatakama, don't you do that every year? So that's the same Shita. So Ikabinayu, Chorfeva Afli. No, the difference is, sometimes it's early, and sometimes it's late. Therefore, sometimes you'll have less than a year. So therefore, that's the difference. That's the nafkamina. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says it's just the cycle, the seasons. Mashen kein, and that's what gets the, so sometimes it could be less than Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's why he said it's, so he doesn't give a specific objective time. It's just the season. That's the season. And, the Tanakhama says no Yud Beis Chodesh. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a week and a half ago, the sheet of the Chacham Tzvi. Nowhere in Shas does it say this, but the Chacham Tzvi picks up on this heter of Yud Beis Chodesh and extends it. At least b'di'eved. At least b'di'eved. He doesn't say to use this l'chatila, but the... I didn't bring it. The Chacham Tzvi writes in Simen Pehei that b'di'eved. His case was that he had a case of a chamed, a pesachdik pat. Or a Pesach dig dish that was cooked in a chametz dig pot. But you had Yud Beis Chodesh in the middle. The question is, you have to throw out the food. So the Chacham Tzvi says, I'm not going to go to tell you to lechatchila use something after Yud Beis Chodesh, but I think, in my opinion, that after Yud Beis Chodesh, it's worse than no seitam lefgam. It's nothing. The taste totally disappears after Yud Beis Chodesh, and therefore, in my opinion, b'di'eved, now you can eat the chametz. Right, you could eat the Pesach Dek dish. You could assume that there was no chametz that was polite because it was already Yud Beis Chodesh. So if you look at the Stechemet in Mareches Chavis U'Matzah, he has 10 pages filled with Achronim that discuss this Chacham Tzvi. And many, and there are both sides. Both sides. Some say, yes, wonderful, but it's nowhere to be found. Others say, no, it's nowhere in Shas. Nowhere do you find, if you had something hot, tomorrow we're going to have the Gemara that says, no seitam lefgam is also lechatchila. Even if I know there was like treif in my pot, chametz stick in my pot, then even 6 months later, right, no seitam lefgam is also lechatchila. If I know it's in there, and it never leaves, right? So that is the pashtus. But the Chacham Tzvi says no. After a year, everything leaves. But many poskim say there's nowhere. Others say even if you're on hold of the Chacham Tzvi, you got to be careful because if I use it for, I have to make sure it's been a year. Sometimes if it's just a year before, have you had a full year? Do you need a Shana Mubaris? You have to make sure it's 12 months. That's a discussion here. It's in Chelek Zion of the Stechemet. It has a whole big discussion of the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, but it relates to this Gemara about Yud Beis Chodesh. We touched on a similar idea, not exactly the same, but is it a din of Yud Beis Chodesh, or like the second day here, it's a din of the seasons. Whenever the season comes. We discussed this, remember when? Pasha Zachar. Pasha Zachar. So the Gemara says Pasha Zachar, doesn't say any more time in the Torah when you have to hear Pasha Zachar, so we assume it has to be once a year. Once a year, why? Because the Gemara says in Brachas Dafin Ches that Gzeir al Ameish, Shtachach Melalev, Lach Yud Beis Chodesh. Right? A mace, you forget a mace every 12 months, so therefore, things are forgotten. That's the source of having a yard site before 12 months elapse. So that's why at least once a year we should try to remember having a yarset to remember the niftar. That's why Rabbi Kiva Eker quotes at the beginning of Hilchas Avelos, there was a minog to at least put up the matzeva on the yarset. Dakamas matzeva, the unveiling. Why? Because the first 12 months you don't need a matzeva. You don't need a matzeva because you remember. But after that, you need. So there's a chumra of the Maharam Shik, of the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, that whenever there's a leap year, like this year, right now, so we should have remembered Parshas Kisetse a few last summer, that we should have in mind Parshas Zachar then. Why? Because we're going to have more than 12 months in between. We're going to have 13 months in between these two Parshas Zachars. So maybe it's not good enough. So say the Achronim, though, the Chasam Sofer himself writes in the Shuvah, you don't have to worry about this. Because it's not a din in the months, it's a din in the seasons. When you go through a whole year cycle, so then you're gonna forget. It's not a day that you forget things after 12 months. No, it says if you go through a year cycle, so then the memories of that year, so to speak, makes me move on. So it doesn't matter if it's 12 months or 13 months. So then this did in the seasons. So here too, says Rav Shmuel Gamliel, It's in the seasons. Whatever you end up doing the following year cycle, maybe it's in the weather of the seasons, what it does to the wine presses, but that is the machlokas. Okay, we already brought the proof to how do you kasher akalin, but the Gemara continues quoting the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, let's say I want to kasher my wine press immediately. I want to start using it. Harotza latara and miyad. Magila beroschin. You have to be magilit in boiling hot water. Ocholta bebezesim. Or scald it with mezesim, with some type of olive juice. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishrim Rabbi Yossi Omer. Manichan tachas tzinor shemeimav makalchin. You could put it under a flow, a constant flow of water. A tsinar, that the water is constant. Open mayan shemeimav rodfim, or mayan that has constant, again, flowing water. Remember, this is all where the absorption was cold. So therefore, that's why there were these other extra ways of kashering it, because the absorption was with cold, so the kashering could be with cold. As we're going to have tomorrow, kibolo kachpolto. The kaba, how long do you have to do that for? Oh, no. Yeah, do that for an ona. How long is it ona? The Gemara is going to talk about it. But first, the Brisa continues. Kederach she'amar b'yayin nesach. Just like these are the rules for yayin nesach, kach amar b'taris. So too, these are the rules for taris. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Klapi lai, just the opposite. B'taris kaminan. We're talking about taris. How did the Brisa start off? You want to make your bride press tahar. So what do you mean, just like yayin nesach, so do taris? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Ella, kederach she'amar b'taris, kach amar b'yayin nesach. That's what the Brisa meant to say. The rule is b'taris, and we extend it to yayin nesach. Kama ona, how long is ona? How long do you have to leave it under this flow of water? Amar b'chiyah baraba, Amar b'yochanan, o yom, o laila, a day or a night, meaning some type of 12-hour period, day or night. Rav Chana she'ina, the Amri la Rav Chana bar she'ina, either it was his last name or his father's name. Amar Abba bar Rav Chana, Amar b'yochanan, chatzi yom, chatzi laila. It means, half a day and half a night. That's what it means. Amr Shmuel, Amr Shmuel by Yitzchak. Well, please, there's no machlokas here. Is it day or night, or half a day and half a night put together? It depends what type of year it is. Ha betkufas Nisan v'tishrei. Ha betkufas tamas atebes. If it's at the time of the year when you have equal days and nights, then it says a day or a night. If you don't have equal days and nights, if you have, let's say, now, when the nights are much longer than the days, then you got to take half a night or half a day, because it has to be that time period. This is ona. This relates also to the sugya in Masechas Nida. What is, how do you define an ona samach leveses? When the halach is that one has to be poresh, and certain halachas kick in by ona samach levesta, every month, the husband and wife have to figure out exactly when the vest is, so they have to be poresh during the time of the ona. When is the ona? So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Rov Rishonim, the ona means a quote-unquote 12-hour period. It doesn't mean 12 hours, it just means a day or a night. Like this Gemara says also, it's a day or a night, it's one time period. There's the Chumra known as the Chumra of the Ar Zarua, it's quoted in the Shach, but it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, quoted in the Shach, that maybe it means a 24-hour period. Ona Samach Levesis is an ona Samach Leona. That means a 24-hour period. That is a Chumra of the Ar Zarua, but that is related to the definition of what an ona is. Okay, Amar of Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Bryce is finished. Now we're getting to Rabbi Yehuda. Hani Rav Kidarmoi. You have these Aremian sieves. Like they left the grapes in there, and slowly the wine dripped out of them. So how do you kasher them? Demazia, the ones that are made out of human hair, madichan, that you could just rinse off. Why? Why? It doesn't absorb so much. Human hair does not absorb. Right, this gets into the issue of on Hilcha Shabbos, Ein Schita B'Seyar. That's what we paskin. If I rub my hair all wet on Shabbos, so that's an Isser D'Rabbanan, not an Isser D'Araisa. Right, because hair is not Bolea. The water is trapped between my hairs, but it's not in my hairs. That's why it's not Bolea. Right, that's why a sponge, if you have a plastic sponge with hard bristles, or a toothbrush for that matter, forgetting the toothpaste issue, but a toothbrush, just the bristles themselves, if it's not Bolea, many poskim say, right, you're allowed to brush your teeth with water. Or many poskim say liquid toothpaste. Why? Because it's not Bolea. It's not being nivle in the bristles and the schita there. There's no schita there. That's the square too. Demazia mandichan. If it's human hair, just rinse it off. De imra, but if it's made out of wool, managvan, then you got to do niga of this process with the ashes and the water. De kitna, if it's linen, miyashnan. You got to let it get old. 12 months. The ika katri, and if there are any knots in any of these, sharilu, you have to untie them first, or else the water will get caught in them. or the kasher wouldn't go on those areas. Hani dekule v'chalasa darmoi. What about dekule, these types of baskets, v'chalasa darmoi? So how do you kasher them? Dechiti v'chavli detzuri, if they were sewn with rope from tzuri, so then madichan, you have to rinse them off, just rinse them, that's all you need. Ditzavta, if they're made out of a certain type of gemi, Rashi says, l'nagvan, then you have to do the nigah pratas. Again, this is all about levels of absorption. Dekitna miyashnan v'yispu kitri shaylohan, if they have knots, you have to untie them first. Peri. Itmar, says the Gemara. Am ha'aretz shahoshit yadu lagat v'nogabesh kolos. What if an am ha'aretz, who is not makbid on hilchas tumah v'tahara, he stuck his hand into my gat, the top layer of my gat, which has the grapes with oozing out wine from them. So it's a whole mixture of grapes and grape juice coming out. And this am ha'aretz touched one cluster. V'nogabesh kolos. Touched one cluster. So, what's the halacha? So, Reb Chiya, Chat Omar, Eshkol v'kol svivos of Temeyin, v'chol agat kula tahora. One shita says that the cluster that he touched, and everything around it is Tameh, but the rest of the god is Tahor. That's the first shita. But, v'chat Omar, kol agat kula nami Temeyin. No! The other person says it's all considered mechubar, it's all one big chibor, and therefore the entire god becomes Tameh. Ulamanda Amar Eshkov Kol Sviva. Why is this brought here? Because we're talking about Tum and Tara of a Gat. That's how this came in. Ulamanda Amar Eshkov Kol Sviva Sa Temeyin. According to the opinion that says the entire area surrounding is just that area is Tameh. The Kol Agat Kula Tara, but the rest of the Gat is Tar. Maish Tameh Hadatzan. How is this different from the Mishnah in Meseches Taharos? Sheretz Shenimsa Berechayim. If I find a Sheretz in the Rechayim, right, I crushed olives, and now I find the sheretz there. Ein matami ala makam ago. Only tummy is the spot where the sheretz was. A sheretz is an av hatuma. V'im haya mashkin mahalech. But if there's liquid flowing through the whole olive press, hakol tummy is all tummy. So here too, there's liquid flowing through the whole gat. So you should say the whole gat is tummy, not just the eshkol and its environs. So the Gemara said, no, hasam lo mifsak v'lo midi. Over there by the olives, there's nothing, if there's liquid in there, there's no mechitzas. It's all one big mush. Hacha mifsik yeshkolos. Here, each of the big clusters creates a hafsik. And therefore, this is not going to be betame, the next, eshkol cluster over, because there's a hafsik there. Period. O relay rabbanon Rabbi Yirmiyah, v'yamilo lebrei, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Some say, the Rabbanan told Rabbi Yirmiyah, and so I'd say it was to his son. Only that area, but the rest of it is tahar. Period. Okay, says the Mishnah. So we're finished with the Ayin Nesach. Right, the different sections, as we mentioned. Think back to that Me'iri, which we mentioned a couple of times. The four sections of this Masechta. The first section of the Masechta was doing business with a guy in proximity of his Yom Eid. That was number one. That was Perek Aleph and some of Bet. Dealings with Nachrim, are you allowed to give them, right? We had the issue of Osachanim, all these issues of doing business with them. Section two was dealings with Ma'acholei Akum. All the gzeiras that Chazal made, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes, Daf Lamed Hey, Bishal Akum, Pas Akum, Yayin, Gvina, Shemin, all of those laws. That was part two of the Masechta. Part three of the Masechta was Avodah Zarah. Mamash Avodah Zarah. Right, the Torah had to do bitul avodah zarah. What if you find an object, you assume that it's an idol, do you not assume it's an idol? That was all part three of the Masechta. And part four of the Masechta was about Yayin Nesach. All the different halachas of Yayin Nesach, all the different types, what happens, all the three levels, actual Yayin Nesach, Stam Yainam, and wine of the Jews that they touched, what's called touching, that was all the end of the previous parak, touching directly, touching indirectly, that was all the end of the fourth parak, and then this parak is all other halachas of Yayin Nesach, working for a guy, handling his Yayin Nesach, what if he's working for you, when does Yayin Nesach aser, along the way we got into other Isurim as well, is there bitul by Yayin Nesach, is there bitul by Shari Isurim, Mino, Sheido Mino, it's a very structured Masechta. To end off the Masechta, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi saw fit to put in, how do you kasher treif kalim? Right, we're talking about Yayin Nesach, we're talking about Isurim, but how do you kasher treif kalim? So once we're talking about kashering treif kalim, the Gemara brings up, besides kashering, there's another idea, as we will see. Here we go. Says the Mishnah, Halokeya kli tashmish min othik achavim. If I buy a kli from a goy, So, what is the halacha? Es shedarko lahatvil yatvil. Whatever requires tevila just eats tevila. What does that mean? So that means anything that is just used in cold, you just have to wash. But also alluded to here is the mitzvah of tevila. Tevilas kalim. If I buy something from a guy, besides the fact that I have to worry about the treif taste inside, and therefore I have to kasher it, as we know, there is a mitzvah, machlokes, d'oraisa or d'rabanan, but there is a mitzvah to tovel kalim, even if I know that it's new, and there's no treif taste in there, and that is putting it into a cold mikvah. So that is a separate from getting out any type of treifas. How do you know? How do you know that tevila is something positive? It's about hosafas kedusha, while hagawa or libun or all of the other ways of kashering is getting out treif. There's an easy way to know the difference. Bracha. We make a bracha by tefilas kelim. We don't make a bracha when we kasher something. When we do libun or hagala or any of those, or you stick the knife in the ground, we'll get to, right? You don't make a bracha there. Why? Because whenever you're removing something negative, there's no bracha. When you're adding kedusha, that's a bracha. That's why there's a bracha on Mayim Rishonim and there's no bracha on Mayim Achronim. Because Mayim Achronim is just to remove something negative. To remove the Emalach Stomis, to remove dirt on your hands. Whenever you're removing something negative, so that's why there is no bracha. Lashenkin, if you're adding something positive, Hosavas Kedusha. So if you buy it from a guy, whatever, you have to tovel is tovel. Fine. Lahagil Yagil. Whatever, if you get a cleat from a guy that has to be magil, dunked into boiling hot water, so you do that. Lalabin ba'or, yalabin ba'or. Anything that's normally used on a fire, then you have to, right, a barbecue. So then you have to kasher it with a blowtorch. Hashpod v'ha'askala. These are different types of barbecue instruments. A spit. Malabna ba'or. So you have to kasher that in fire, because that's how it's used. Hasakin, a knife. That's tomorrow's daf. We'll talk about it. Ezrat Hashem. Shafa v'tahora. All you got to do is shafa. What's shafa? Rashi says you have to scrape off a layer. Scrape off a layer of the knife. Or, the other Rishonim say here, shafa means sticking it in the ground. So we'll have to see what the Gemara says. So the Rambam says here in the Pirush Mishnayos. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Tana says the Gemara, v'kula tzrichin tefila bar mitzvah. No matter how you kashin it, you have to do the mitzvah of tefila afterwards. Right? That is the mitzvah of tevilas kelim. You know, immediately, what is the source for the mitzvah of tevilas kelim? Amar Rava to Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says, kol davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir b'mayim. V'taher. Anything that is usually used in fire, so pass it through fire to kasher it, v'taher, and purify it. What is that extra word? Hosef lecha hakosef tahara acheres. That extra word of v'taher is teaching me another way of kashering, and that is another way of purifying, and that is tevila, tevilas kelim. If you look in the Rishonim on Chumash, they discuss this. Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi and the Ramban in Pashas Matos, where the source of this is by Clay Midyan. So Rashi says, what does it mean, kol asher yavo ba'esh, right, this extra word of tvitaher, kol davar she'in tashmisho edei ha'or, could go kosos v'slochios v'kitonos, you have cups, kosos. So then, she'tashmisho mitzone v'lo bloha iser tavir b'mayim, matbilan v'dayo, lashon Rashi. Rashi seems to say that the word taviru, b'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh, taviru b'mayim, that itself also is referring to Tevilas Kalim. Pashas from Rashi is a mitzvah daraisa. And that is what many Rishonim say. Tevilas Kalim, at least certain Kalim, we'll get to metal, is a mitzvah de'oraisa. By the way, that's why Erev Pesach, when the minhag is to kasher everything. That's why we want to use our wine kosos for the seder. So the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to kasher, throw it into a du'agala, boiling water. Maker Adin, you don't have to do that, Pashtus. If you never went, did I ever put anything hot in my kos? Unless I might have put it into a dishwasher with other things. But many people don't put silver into a dishwasher. So if you know bevados that your kosos were never used for hot chametz, then Maker Adin, you just got to rinse them off. There's no blia there. The minhag amongst many is that for Pesach, you kasher everything. Pesach, you kasher everything. As I spoke about yesterday in the Sefer Mitzvah Shir, why dafka do we have so many chumras when it comes to Pesach? But that is Rashi. The Ramban doesn't like the pashtus of this pasuk. He says maybe it's an asmachta, and says the Ramban, v'libi, this is the Ramban in Bamidbar, Laman Aleph Chav Gimel, v'libi mahar her od lomar, my heart tells me, shatvila azu mi divrei hem. Mitzvah de Rabbanan, says the Rabban. V'hamikra asmachta asu osa. It's an asmachta. And Oglas also translates, does not quote Tvila at all in any of these. V'zet Sarach Talmud. And in Sarach Ian. Sarach Ian here, I'm not exactly sure whether it's the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. Unclear exactly what the sheet of the Rambam is. If you look at the Rambam says in Hilchas Macholas Asuros, when he talks about Tfilas Kalim, Tfilas Zusha Matvilan Klei Asuda, Shenol Kachem and Agayim, Viakach Yutru Lachilav Shasiya, Einol Inyan Tum Vatara, Elami Divrei Sofrim. That's the Rambam's Lashon, Divrei Sofrim. The Rama's Law, and the hint is, Kol Davar Shayava Ba'esh Tavir Bamayim Vitaher, Mipiashmur Lamdu, Shayna Madabar, Elabataras, and Mide Gule Gayim, Lomide Tumma. And therefore, that's the Rambam's Lashon. So what does it sound like? Rambam says, Divrei Sofrim. So the Kesef Mishnah says, Pashas is the Rabbanan. But what am I supposed to do? The Tshuvas HaRashba says, the Rambam says, Daraisa. Where does he get that from? It says, the Lacha Mishnah. It must be that he interprets the words Divrei Sofrim as a din to Oraisa without an explicit source in the Torah. That's how the Lacha Mishnah says, the Rashba must understand it. Other Rishonim say, the Rambam means the Rabbanan. Right? This is the big discussion in the beginning of Hilchas Ishus. When the Rambam says, according to one Girsa, Kesef is Bidivrei Sofrim. Does the Rambam, that mean Kesef, Kiddusha Kesef is Drabbanan? Or no, it's Daraisa, but the limit is this week's Parsha, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. So therefore, it is Daraisa as well. Just somebody told me yesterday, I have to mention it once, it's Parsha's Chayasara, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, right? So the Kasha that everybody asks, marriage you learn from buying a piece of land. Gzeira Shava, Kicha by marriage, Kicha Kishisha, and Avram Avinu from Stay Ephron, Kicha Kicha, what is the connection? How can you compare buying a piece of land and being Kona a wife? So, there's obviously many, much, much, much deeper, but I heard B'Shem Rav Kook. He said Rav Kook, and then I guess the answer. I said, he says you're buying Eretz Yisrael, not just buying a piece of land. There's Kedusha there. He says, exactly. Right, so I don't know where Rav Kook says it, but so he told me yesterday, B'Shem Rav Kook, that's the connection. This Kicha, it's not just buying Stay Ephron, it's buying Eretz Yisrael. And that is Kedusha as well, and that makes it more palatable, the connection to Kedusha. Okay, that is the, anyway, back to here, to Rashi and the Ramban, in terms of the level, what is it? Is it Daraisa? Is it the Rabbanan? This is also a discussion, the Chavetz Chaim discusses this, whether this is a mitzvah Daraisa or the Rabbanan. Where would the Chavetz Chaim discuss Tefillas Kalim? Hilchas Shabbos. Where in Hilchas Shabbos are you allowed to tovel on Shabbos? Allowed to tovel a kli on Shabbos? Right, what would be the problem? It's a mitzvah to Rabbanan. It's a mitzvah, wonderful! No, the issue is it's tikkun. It's tikkun. You're fixing on a rabbinic level. You're not allowed to use this. You're not allowed to even use a kli on toveled once. That is a misconception that some people have. Just once. The first time. No, not even the first time. You can't use a kli on toveled even one time. And even if I use the kli 1,000 times without toveling it, it still requires tefillah after the 1,000 times. It's not like, the tefillah, the chi of tefillah just disappears. No, even if I used it 1,000 times, that misconception might have come out from the halacha that if I have a disposable kli that could only be used one time, you don't have to tovel it. If you have a disposable kli. So that, maybe from there, came the misconception that a kli that can last forever, you don't have to tovel it for the first time. But that's not true. Even if you get it the first time, it requires tefillah before one uses it. But that is the big discussion about disposable items. What about items that we throw out, but they're not disposable? What about if I buy a bottle of juice, and the bottle of juice is not plastic. Plastic doesn't require tefillah, but it's glass. Say in Chutzlar, it's the Snapple bottles. That's the big Shiloh. The Snapple bottles, right? That the so if I use it, so let's say I open it, so it's already in. It's already in it. So do you have to, let's say I keep that. Do I have to kosher it? Do I have to tovel it? So how do you tovel it? It's full of Snapple. So most people can say the first time you don't have to worry about it. There are some, Rav Shechter is machbid, not to use a straw or pour it out. Not to drink directly from the glass bottle, because you're getting direct tashmish from the bottle. But let's say I finished it, and now I want to use it again. I want to fill it up with water. So here, many poskim say, now you got to tovel it. The first time already was full. So what are you going to do? But now you're going to reuse it? So some say, you have to tovel it. Rav Moshe has an achuva, you don't have to. Why? Because Rav Moshe says, when you buy a Snapple bottle, what are you buying? You're buying the Snapple, you're not buying the bottle. You don't care about the bottle. The bottle is batel to the Snapple. Right after you finish, you decide that you're going to keep it, Asiya B'Yad Yisrael. Asiyah Yisrael. It wasn't made by a goy. It wasn't when the goy made the bottle, says Rav Moshe, he didn't make it as a bottle. He made it as a container for the Snapple. So that he didn't make it. It's bottle. It doesn't have its own status. Masha'enke, the second that a Jew decides to keep the bottle, Asiyah B'Yad Yisrael, so therefore it doesn't require tevila. That's the chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that in Teshuvah. Anyway, so in Hilchas Shabbos, that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses, whether one is allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos or not. The Shulchan Aruch advises against it. He says, you know, better give it to a goy b'matana and then borrow it back, which we're about to see in a second, does not require tefillah. Okay, so what about, is there an issue to give a matana on Shabbos? That also relates, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to worry about that problem. Okay, fine. Let us continue our discussion here. Says the Gemara, Tani. Tani bar kapara. Mitoch shenemar b'mei nida. Since it's used in the lashon of mei nida, shomei ani shetor chazor shlishi b'shvi. I might have thought, it's used in that lashon by giule, by the clay midyan. I might have thought that every kli that you get, you have to not only tovel, or not tovel, you have to sprinkle with the afer of the paraduma on day 3 and 7, just like for Tumas Mace. Shomei ani shezor chazor shlishi b'shvi. The Talmud Lomar achilek. It says the word ach. Ach is always a minimizing word, and therefore it's excluding. You don't need shlishi b'shvi. Im kei matam alomer b'mei nida. So why, over here, does it use the lashon of mei nida? Mayim shahanida tovelas bahen. It means water, the tvila that takes place, has to be in a mikvah that a nida theoretically can be tovel in. Havi omer arboim sa'ah. Right? Every mikvah has got to be at least arboim sa'ah in order to be called a mikvah. And therefore, that's the connection to mei nida here. Israel lebechta v'tar, v'Israel lebechta v'mei nida. And you need both sources, says the Gemara. The word v'taher, and the word mei nida, because of v'taher, if it only said v'taher, hav amina v'tar kaldu. I might have thought, dunk it in any size mikvah. Because of rachmana v'mei nida. That's why, yes, it has v'mei nida to teach me 40 sa'ah. Because of rachmana v'mei nida, hav amina harif shemesh kinida. I might have thought, not only does it have to be the size that is kosher for a nida to tovel in, but also, after you tovel it, you gotta wait till sunset. Gotta wait till sunset. Harif shemesh kinida. Right? Because a nida doesn't go to the mikvah until nighttime, after sunset. So maybe here too. Maybe you have to have harif shemesh. Because of rachmana v'taher la'alter. It's okay immediately. Period. The shiloh that's asked by the Rishonim is, so this whole source for clay, for kashering, for toveling is by clay Midian. Bnei Yisrael fought and conquered other nations before Midian. Sichon and Og were earlier. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu give these halachas to Bnei Yisrael earlier, by the earlier nations? Why Dafka Midian? It's the Ramban's kasha in Matos. Ramban says, why didn't he command it earlier? So says the Ramban, because Sichon and Og, they were, Sichon and Og, hein malchi ha'emori, va'artzam minachlas eretz Yisrael hi, v'hutel ahem koshlalam afilu hisurim. They were on our property. And therefore anything they got, they weren't allowed to take anyway. So there's a special din by spoils that are really ours, they're mutter to you, period. Masha'enki Midyan, l'hoi mishalahem, what did we go to Midyan for? Because we wanted to take the kama for what they did to us. Right, after the, Nekom Nikmas Hashem, Esa Midyanim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded. So, therefore, that's the difference, says the Ramban. It depends if it was part of Eretz Yisrael or not. Other Achronim, though, suggest, and this has halacha l'maisa ramifications, when do you require Tvilas Kalim? You require Tvilas Kalim when you bought something directly from a guy. What if there is something in between? What if a guy made it Hefker? A guy made it Hefker, left it, and then you got it. Say some Achronim, maybe that's the Chiddush. By Sichon and Og, they ran away. They left it Hefker, so you didn't have to tovel it. Midyan, you got it directly from them. Because Midyan, you killed out the part of the nation, the rest of the nation yashered it, and then you took it from them. So, that is what some poskim hold. If you're konem in a Hefker, then there is no mitzvah of Tevilas Kalim. Where does this come up? The Har Tzvi. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva related to this. Let me find the tshuva. Rav Pesach Frank has a tshuva related to this. He speaks about a case where Tzahal conquered a certain city. B'kli ha'nikna me'akum. V'kodem. No, that's the wrong one. Says the, that's about if they got mixed up. They got mixed up in the, let me just find it if I have it here. If not, here it is. Kalim shenaflu li de Tzahal im chayavin b'tfila. Tzal conquered a certain city, a certain town. V'zeh k'teisha shanim avru miyom asher zachinu l'ros chasdei Hashem Yisbarach. It's been 9 years, says Rav Tzvi Pesach, since we've seen chasdei Hashem Yisbarach, sherov artzeinu hakadosha nechbasha midei hagoyim u'betoch shalal ha'oyev naflu b'yad tzlagan al Yisrael. So this was written in 1957. V'harbe klisuda chadashim gabishanim shuchshu bagalo believin v'hashela im mechuyavim betfila k'din kone klisuda me'anachri v'rabu adayus yeshahoru demikivan shabofen rishmi ein ritzona shalmshalas yisrael l'shanos cheskas abayla shel ha'aravim v'aruchush rashim betoras nifkadim me'aruchush oyev l'chein einakem alo l'chayavim betfila. It's like she'ulim, and others say no, maybe it was left, they ran away. See, there's a whole tshuva in Yoredeya Kuftes related to, but one of the issues that's discussed is, what if there's hefker in between? Okay, that is an important halakha l'maisa shayla related to tefilas kelim. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, afilu kelim chadashim b'mashma, even new kelim that were never used before, you have to tovel. Daha yishanim v'libnam kechadashim damu. Cause old kelim and they, I'm saying old kelim that were used and you, and you blowtorch them, it's as if they're new. So you see there, it requires tefillah, even if they're new. You're telling every kli that you get from a guy requires tefillah? What about a scissors to cut your wool with? What if you buy a shears? You have to kasher that? You have to total that? What is it now? Amarlei, klei suda amurim beparsha. Only klei suuda is required. You don't have to total scissors. So most things are pretty clear. Klei suda or not klei suda. Other things are not so clear. What about a peeler? That's tovel a peeler? So halacha is yes, because it touches the food directly. It's meant to touch the food directly in food preparation. What about a can opener? Pashtus not. Why? Because a can opener is not meant to touch the food. You're right, sometimes when you open a can of tuna, some of the liquid goes onto it, but you know, you'd rather that not happen. It's not meant to touch the food. Or a corkscrew. Corkscrew does not, maker does not require tefillah. We have this thing at home, though, that after you take the corkscrew out, you put this metal thing on the top instead of the cork. So when you pour the wine out, it goes through that thing. So that needs tefillah. Because that is meant to touch the wine. But the corkscrew, maker did, does not need. But that's big discussions about klei seuda. A trivet. Is a trivet meant to touch food? It's meant to touch the pot, not touch the food. You don't put food directly on. Tfilas Kalim. The safer about Tfilas Kalim. Anything you want to know about Tfilas Kalim. So there it is. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua. Lo shanu ala b'lekuchen al kamayas shashaya. It's only where you bought and got Kalim permanently. That's what happened in Midyan. Avol she'ulim lo. If you borrow a kli from a guy, it does not require tefillah. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, zavin mana, demarda miyavik achavim. Rav Yitzchak bought a mana demarda. Marda is made out of dirt. A certain type of kli made out of dirt from a guy. Sover, let's be lead, wanted to tovel it. Amalei humi arban, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Rabbi Yaakov told him, no. L'didi mifrish eliminated Rabbi Yochanan, kli matchas amurim beparsha. Only metal. That's made out of dirt and dung. You don't have to tovel that. Amar Avashi, besides metal, there's also glass. Hani kli zechuchis, ho avachinish tabru, yishlam takana, ke kli zechuch matchas damu. As we know in halacha, sometimes glass is parallel to metal. Since if glass breaks, you could fix it. So it's like a metal kli. It's not like cheres, which once it's broken, and therefore glass also requires. And it's important to note, though, that even the Rishonim that say metal is d'oraisa, glass is d'rabanan. You have to tovel. There's another misconception. You don't have to tovel glass. Glass requires tefillah, just like metal requires tefillah. And you do glass with a bracha. It's at least d'rabanan. But it is d'rabanan, meaning it's not d'oraisa. One, two more lines. Kunya. What's kunya? So Rashi explains, it is made out of cheres, earthenware, which does not require tevilah, but it's glazed. It has a type of metal over it. They coat it with metal. So kunya, pliki barabach maravina. Chad amar kitzchila. So one said it's called cheres, the chad amar kasofo, one said it's called metal. The hilchas a kasofo, you go by the glaze on top. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, you go by the glaze. But post get pointed out today, Rav Schechter assumes that the glaze that they were talking about then, and even 100 years ago, was a much thicker type of glaze. And that's why the glaze changed the status of the of the plate, of the kli. But nowadays, where the glaze is so fine, it's like not even, there's no mamashas there, it just gives it a shine. But it's not really anything there that anybody can really tell if you're not an expert. So then, make even glazed china would not need tefillah. Some poskim say, you should be tovel without a bracha, but there are yesh mi amalismo, a number of poskim that say, even if it's glazed, it does not require tefillah. We'll have to stop here, we'll continue tomorrow with the boilahu, tomorrow the last daf. I'm not going to talk about it here, because I'm going to talk about it in today's Sefer HaMitzvah shir. And that is, what about if you get kalim from a mumar? Does that require tevilah? A mumar, a apikoris Jew. You have to tova kalim that you buy from him. So that's going to come up in today's mitzvah, which is the isser of giving a mumar carbon Pesach. So please join us today for Sefer HaMitzvahs as well on OU.org, the Sefer HaMitzvah shir. Okay, we'll stop here. There's a great Avnei Nezer that we're going to mention. Okay, we'll stop now.